Our scripture reading today is the epistle lesson for the second Sunday in Lent. It is taken from St. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, the fourth chapter, beginning with the third verse. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. A number of years ago, I was driving in my car listening to the radio and overheard a group of morning disc jockeys kind of bantering back and forth as they're known to do. This was down in Orlando, Florida. And there were three of them that were talking about sex and in particular about pornography. And apparently one of the men, there were two men and one lady, one of the men had recently had his wife leave him and now was planning to divorce him because she had found a stash of pornographic videotapes that he'd been secretly hiding in the house. And he went on to explain that as she had confronted him about this, that he blew it off and refused to give them up. And she kept pressing him on this, and this went on for weeks and weeks, apparently. And finally, he got to the point of deciding, I don't want to be married to you if you are going to tell me and force me to give up my pornography. It was interesting that even the woman who was there, a married disc jockey, she was married, even she agreed with him and began berating his now ex-wife over the airwaves for everybody to hear and belittling this woman for being such a prude. It's interesting that if the same women that this man was watching in his videotapes, if he took those same women and invited them to his house to come in physically into the house and do this, he might have had a little bit different understanding about his ex-wife's feelings. You see, that's what videotape does for us and what computers do for us and magazines. They make us feel separated from the sin. It makes adultery feel a little easier because we're not right there physically with the person. But the sin is the same in the heart. And it caused destruction to this man's marriage. What was interesting to me to note, however, was that even a fellow woman who herself was married thought it was fine and good to publicly berate this man's wife for being so upset about this. That says something about the culture we live in. That says something about how predominant this evil is in our society today. You know, lust has always been lust. Go back in the book of Genesis and lust is there, just like it is for us today. But what has changed is the access that we have to letting it fill our minds and our hearts today. The opportunities that we have today are so much greater. And along with that, there are no longer, very few I should say, any public barriers of shame about this. They've just been broken down and obliterated. About all we have left anymore in terms of shame is the fact that Mettler's downtown and the adult book and cinema has you park in the back. That's about the most shame that we have anymore. So you can still kind of hide it from everybody else. We have lost all sense of shame in our culture today on this subject. And Christian men and women are just being sucked into this cesspool of evil. St. Paul talks about in our text today this very sin in his day and how these temptations were around likewise in his day. How happy and excited the devil must be over the development of the internet. One out of three hits on the web is for pornography. Just think of that. Just think of the time in our world that is wasted on this garbage. Just think of the money that has been invested into something that destroys marriages, that scars people's consciences, that rips young Christian, especially men and women, away from Christ and sends them down a path of immorality, that just leaves a wake behind it of destruction, all for so little. And we're tempted to just get sucked right into this. Paul said to the Christians in his day as well, we're all tempted to act just like the heathen who do not even know God. The devil operates among us today the same way he did in Eden. He has just chosen to pick a little bit different looking piece of fruit. But the fruit that he held before Adam and Eve appeared to give them so much, but once they ate it, it robbed them. And so it is with all sins of sexual immorality that the devil puts before us. It appears to give us advantages on the front end, but it ultimately robs. It ultimately destroys, especially our souls. How many consciences today have been seared and no longer have sensitivity over sexual sins because of this evil? How many Christian young men and women have been lost to these matters? How many dollars have been squandered on this that could have been used to promote the cause of the gospel? How many hours of productivity in people's lives have been wasted over this trash? How many marriages have been scarred or damaged or destroyed over this? How many children have had to grow up in homes where marriage has been destroyed over sexual immorality? How many pastors have been driven out of the ministry because of this? The book of Proverbs says it so well. Do not let your heart turn aside to the tempter's ways. Thinking of a prostitute he's speaking about here, which is what a lot of this comes down to. Do not stray into her paths, for she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. You and I can be tempted to think that we can dabble in this immorality of the world and be okay and walk away all right and still claim our relationship with Christ without any repentance involved. If, as one theologian put it, if you believe in a Christ who permits you to continue to live and revel in sin, then you believe in a Christ who really does not exist. You see, our Lord Jesus has come to free us from sin, but not to give us freedom to go sin. Dr. Walther put it this way: while it is impossible to obtain salvation by holiness, it is entirely possible for a person to lose his salvation by the neglect of his holiness. Heathen invaders have entered the temple of God, our bodies. Heathen invaders have invaded the temple of God and have brought in buckets and barrels of filth to spread around. And they have slopped the excrement of the world into the temple of God. And in the same spirit of our Lord Jesus, who took a whip in his hand and drove the evil out of his temple to cleanse and purge it, God calls upon us, his children in this world, to do the same through the process of repentance, to bring our hearts and our souls and our wounded consciences before the cross, and to there again receive the cleansing, purifying grace and the forgiveness of our Lord Jesus, and to go back to the waters of our baptism where God claimed you as his child and to there wash your soul and your conscience, and to again give you a clean conscience before God through Christ. Yes, the devil may get excited over one individual, one man or woman who sits alone in his room and gets pulled into this, but how much joy there also is in heaven over the one sinner who repents. King David, following his fall into sexual immorality and adultery and ultimately murder, upon his repentance and coming out of that sin, says so beautifully in Psalm 51, "Purge me, Lord, with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." How great it is that God has chosen not to judge you and me, his faithful, on our record someday, but instead on the merits of his holy Son, who kept his mind and his eyes and his heart entirely pure. But then, as the author of Hebrews says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Amen. Please rise. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for making us your own dear child through the waters of baptism. We pray that you would cause us to return again to that wonderful washing water today through repentance, and that you would cleanse us by the grace and forgiveness you have shown us in our Savior, and cause us now to reflect this wonderful grace in our day-to-day lives. We ask it all in his saving and powerful name. Amen.